2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14, all the way to chapter 7, verse 1. This is the reading of God's word. Do not be bound together with unbelievers. For what partnership have righteousness and lawlessness? Or what fellowship has light with darkness? Or what harmony has Christ with Belial? Or what has a believer in common with an unbeliever? Or what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For we are the temple of the living God. Just as God said, I will dwell in them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, come out from their midst and be separate, says the Lord. And do not touch what is unclean, and I will welcome you, and I will be a father to you, and you shall be sons and daughters to me, says the Lord Almighty. Therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all defilement of flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this precious time of hearing of your word. Grant us an ear to hear your voice, your loving voice through your word, telling us the wonderful stories of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us hear your word, and by hearing your word, let our faith grow. Let us be more and more like your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Let us imitate him. Let us live the very life that he has lived for us, for you have given us his life. And Father, we pray that as we hear your word, that we may see the reality of heaven that our Lord has accomplished, that we may see ourselves in that reality, and that by your grace, live according to that reality, to bring glory and honor to you. Bless us and receive all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God has committed to us the word of reconciliation. So Paul was teaching us about this reconciliation. First, the reconciliation to God and the reconciliation to one another. But the Bible does not teach reconciliation at any cost. Just no matter what, reconcile. That is not what the Bible teaches. Thus, previous verses, right before this passage that we read, Paul was talking about reconciliation to God. Then he starts talking about reconciliation to one another. And after chapter 7, verse 1, he continues to talk about reconciliation to one another. But so that we may not be confused, he puts this section in between those verses. Verse 14a, do not be bound together with unbelievers. Or NIV says, do not be yoked together with unbelievers. Or more correctly, do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. Do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. Unequal yoke. Things just cannot be yoked together. Unlawful yoking, if you will. And God teaches us this principle in the Old Testament. If you go to Leviticus chapter 19, and that's where we're going to begin today. Leviticus chapter 19. Verse 19, God says, you are to keep my statutes You shall not breed together two kinds of your cattle. You shall not sow your field with two kinds of seed, nor wear a garment upon you of two kinds of material mixed together. Now we have to understand clearly, correctly, what is God trying to say here. This is Old Testament. So it's not sin if you're wearing a clothing today with two kinds of material. That is not what God is saying. It is a type. Well, if you go to Deuteronomy chapter 22, verse 9 through 11, we read similar thing there. Deuteronomy chapter 22, verse 9 through 11, you shall not sow your vineyard with two kinds of seed, or all the produce of the seed which you have sown, and the increase of the vineyard will become defiled. You shall not plow with an ox and a donkey together. You shall not wear a material mixed of wool and linen together. And like I said before, and you already know this, this was an Old Testament type. What is the teaching here? What was the purpose of all this? Well, Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 2 to 5 says, and when the Lord your God delivers them before you and you defeat them, then you shall utterly destroy them. You shall make no covenant with them and show no favor to them. Furthermore, you shall not intermarry with them. You shall not give your daughters to their sons, nor shall you take their daughters for your sons. For they will turn your sons away from following me to serve other gods. Then the anger of the Lord will be kindled against you, and he will quickly destroy you. But thus you shall do to them. You shall tear down their altars and smash their sacred pillars and hew down their asherim and burn their graven images with fire. In the Old Testament, there were many divisions. And those divisions were a type. And those divisions were pointing to the true division. And it's when you come to the New Testament, you understand what that true division is. But in the Old Testament, that division was expressed in many things, earthly things. So there was a division between Gentiles and Jews. And you cannot mingle. So, we see here in those verses that we read, many divisions, and you cannot mix these things together. But again, these were all types. But what was Paul talking about up to this point? That the all types have passed away, and behold, the reality has come. Now the only division in the New Testament is Jesus Christ. It is the true division. See, it's not that in the Old Testament there were many divisions, earthly divisions, and then you come to New Testament, there's no, absolutely no division whatsoever. That is not what the Bible is saying. Those Old Testament divisions were pointing to the true division, which is Jesus Christ. The principle that when there's a division, these two things cannot mix, that principle is still applies when it comes to the true division. And that division is Jesus Christ. Do not be bound together with unbelievers. See, this division is all about whether one believes or not believe in Jesus Christ. That's the only division we know today. Whether you are the believers or you are the unbelievers. All the earthly divisions are passed away. Now in the New Testament, all the earthly divisions are actually sin. You don't go back to Old Testament and you use the Old Testament divisions. If you do that, then you are sinning. Even the Jews who were set apart as a holy people of God in the Old Testament, if they do not believe in Jesus, then eternal punishment of hell is their judgment. Those Old Testament divisions no longer apply. Because those divisions were pointing to the true division. And the new era has begun. Now only the true division applies. But remember, even in the Old Testament, true salvation of God came to his people only through faith in the Messiah who was to come, the Messiah, Jesus Christ. So when we say there were earthly divisions in the Old Testament, but the true salvation is not because you are just Jew and you are saved. No, even in the Old Testament, true salvation was only by Jesus Christ. But as a type, you see these divisions that God gave to these Old Testament people to teach us the truth. Teach us the true division that is Jesus Christ. Yeah, just like everything you see in the Old Testament. You know, Israel. God show us Israel to teach us true Israel, church. So God show us earthly divisions to teach us the true division, Jesus Christ. You get the idea? So then Paul comes to this part of our book, 2 Corinthians, and he tells us, for what partnership have righteousness and lawlessness? What fellowship has light with darkness? What harmony has Christ with Belial? What has a believer in common with an unbeliever? What agreement has the temple of God with idols? The answers to all these questions is very clear. Absolutely nothing. There is no partnership between righteousness and lawlessness. There is no fellowship between light and darkness. There is no harmony between Christ and Satan. There's nothing, absolutely nothing common with believers and unbelievers. There's no agreement between the temple of God and idols. Here, five things are being contrasted. Righteousness with lawlessness, light with darkness, Christ with Belial or Satan, believer with unbeliever, and temple of God with idols. They are the completely opposite things. Now, because of the new creation that we've been looking at in this letter, there are two worlds, two kingdoms, two realities. Heaven or this world. So one set of these five things belong to one realm, and the other five sets belong to the other realm. Two worlds, two kingdoms, and two realities. Heaven or this world. The kingdom of God or the kingdom of man. The reality that is not seen or the reality that is seen. Or holy things or the unholy things of this world. Do you see it? Is it this world or the other world? Where do you belong? That is the question. Because if you are in Christ, you belong to one realm. If you are outside of Christ, then you belong to the other realm. And these two realms cannot be mixed. Do not bound. Do not be bound with unbelievers. And this is just the reality. This is just the fact. This just cannot be mixed. Because if you think as a Christian you could be mixed with the world, then you don't belong to Christ. Just the fact that you are mixing with the world shows you are of the world. This is not that hard. What Paul is saying is very, very clear. Now, if you belong to one, then the other has nothing to do with you forever and ever. You cannot, you know, serve two masters, God says. Either you belong to one, then you don't belong to the other. You have no relationship whatsoever with the other one. But before we say anything, let me say this. What we are saying is not, don't even talk to the unbelievers. Well, we have to go and preach the gospel. We have to share the good news of our Lord Jesus Christ. So when we say this, do not be yoked, unequally yoked together with unbelievers. We're not saying that don't even talk to the unbelievers, or don't even touch them, or don't even buy from them, or don't even sell to them. Then, you know, how are you going to live? Go to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Yeah, I mistakenly taken some medicine that I shouldn't take today, so getting a little bit, I'm okay, so. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 9 through 11. I wrote you in my letter not to associate with immoral people. I did not at all mean with the immoral people of this world, or with the covetous and swindlers, or with idolaters, for then you would have to go out of the world. So, by that, you understand that, you know, we have to buy from unbelievers and we have to sell to unbelievers. You know, if you go to a supermarket and then you ask this question, this is the company itself, is it Christian or non-Christian? The people who made this, were they non-Christian or Christian? You can't do that. If you do that, then how are you going to live? So obviously, God is not saying when he says don't be bound together with unbelievers, God is not saying don't even talk to them, don't even, you know, have a friendship or anything like that. Friendship in a worldly sense. No. But here God teaches us that for us Christians, we cannot have the same meaning, the same mind, the same purpose with this sinful world. You cannot be one with the world when it comes to your purpose, when it comes to the meaning of your life, when it comes to the worth of your life. Why do we live? For what do we live? You cannot be with one with the world. What is your purpose? Is that same thing as unbelievers' purpose? Then there's something really wrong with you as a Christian. See, when you go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 9 through 11, God says, I didn't mean that, you know, when I say to you, don't associate with immoral people, I didn't mean, you know, just don't be near them or anything, because then you have to go out of the world. But it continues, but actually I wrote to you not to associate with any so-called brother if he is an immoral person or covetous or an idolater or a reviler or a drunkard or a swindler, not even to eat with such one. Oh yeah, if somebody says I'm a Christian and he does all this, then don't even eat with them. If he's a member of this church, we need to excommunicate that person. We need to bring judgment upon them, and so that everybody will know that we should not associate with that person. Because you are not of the world. There is no partnership with you and the world. There is no harmony, no fellowship. There is nothing common with you and this world. There is no agreement. See, for us Christians, let me repeat, we cannot have the same meaning, the same mind, the same purpose with this sinful world. God says, because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, because of this, the world hates you. Jesus gave himself for our sins so that he might rescue us from this present evil age. For he rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son. God says, our citizenship is in heaven. The believers and the unbelievers, what is common between them? Absolutely nothing. That is God's answer. And if you have different answer, then you're wrong. God is correct. Nothing in common. But no world teaches. That's why the world hates Christianity when it comes to true Christianity. Because we're just too much. Come on, let's get along. Coexistence, no? Well, we're not against that. We are to coexist in this universe, but we live for Christ. That's the only life we know. Christianity. If you could get rid of true Christianity, world things, then we could truly unite. But it is that Christianity, that is what messes this unity. Because they only know Christ. That's why world teaches you there's so much common with all these different religions. But God says, what is common between Christian and non-Christian? And he says, absolutely nothing. But that is not what you're going to learn out there in the world. Tolerance. When it comes to loving sinners, oh, we're all for that. But when tolerance means we have to accept anything other than Christ, then our tolerance stops right there. Because we'd rather die than go against our Lord Christ. What partnership? What fellowship? What harmony? What commonness? What agreement? God says, no, cannot be, absolutely nothing. Verse 16, what agreement? That word we will find in Luke chapter 23. If you go to Luke chapter 23, verse 50 and 51, this is what you read. And a man named Joseph, who was a member of the council, a good and righteous man, he had not consented to their plan and action. That word consented is the same word here, agreement. How can a believer consent to non-believer, unbeliever? But you see this all the time. And when you are able to consent to the world, world will tell you, oh, you are big. Because if you don't consent, then you're narrow-minded, you're bigot. Seriously, then you automatically become a bad person in this world. That's just how it is. You know, they say, even Christians, I don't know why they could say this kind of stuff, that, oh, I understand why they do that way. Well, if you mean that you understand because Bible shows you how sinful people are, that's one thing. But if you're consenting, then that's a completely other thing. How can a believer consent to this world? How can a believer agree with this sinful world? But it forces you, this world will force you to agree. And, you know, you people who go to school, they will always force you, even in how you answer your tests, you're forced to agree with the world. Especially when you go to get a job. How do you work? You know, how do you do your job? They will force you to consent. Do their way. James chapter 4. James chapter 4, verse 4. You adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is hostility toward God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. You know, I'm not trying to make this thing more stronger than it is. Actually, I don't think I could make it more stronger than it is. Just look at what God is saying. Whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Luke chapter 6, verse 26, woe to you when all men speak well of you, for their fathers used to treat the false prophets in the same way. If the whole world praises you, woe to you. Because if you stand for what God is saying, the world will hate you. If the world loves you, then you better be very careful. And I'm not saying, you know, go out and make unnecessary enemies. No, only when it comes to Jesus Christ and His truth, that's it. When it comes to anything else, I don't really care. But when it comes to Christ and His truth, there is no compromise. Because there is nothing common between believers and unbelievers. First John chapter 2, verse 15 through 17, do not love the world nor the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of flesh and the lust of the eyes and the boastful pride of life is not from the Father, but is from the world. The world is passing away and also its lust, but the one who does the will of God lives forever. Brothers and sisters, you must understand, when the world speaks, the world will follow. But you will not follow. When Jesus speaks, the world will not follow. But you will follow. 1 John chapter 4, verse 5 says, they are from the world, therefore they speak as from the world, and the world listens to them. Do you understand that? The world will say what the world will say, and the world will follow that. That's just natural, guys and girls. But next verse says, but we are from God. We do not follow the world. See, we must understand the reality of our eternal salvation. What is the truth? What is true of us and what is true of this sinful world and the people who belong to it? Now in verse 16, the Apostle Paul explains further the last phrase, what agreement has the temple of God with idols? Why we must not be unequally yoked with unbelievers? Verses 16b through 18, for we are the temple of the living God. Just as God said, I will dwell in them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, come out from their midst and be separate, says the Lord, and do not touch what is unclean, and I will welcome you, and I will be a father to you, and you shall be sons and daughters to me, says the Lord Almighty. The world says something similar to its own people. Follow me. Follow the world. Then I will be a father to you. You will be my sons and my daughters. And, well, the world will not say that, but at the end, together with you and me, we'll be destroyed forever and ever. We're going to look at these verses in more detail in next coming weeks. I believe we're going to stay in this passage for about 3, 4, 5 weeks. Because it is so important for you to understand what God is saying here. What does it mean to be the temple of our living God? Here in verses 16b through 18, Paul is quoting from many Old Testament verses. You will find what is said here in so many Old Testament verses. I give you some examples. Leviticus chapter 26, verse 11 through 12. Exodus 29, verse 45. Isaiah 52, verse 11. Hosea chapter 1, verse 10, 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 14, and Jeremiah chapter 37, verse 27, among many others. I would like to actually go to those verses and look at the background and context and try to understand, but that will take just too much time. But what Paul is doing is grabbing, you know, sections from all these Old Testament passages, and he made into one paragraph. You will not find exactly this paragraph in the Old Testament, but parts of this paragraph you will find all over the Bible in the Old Testament. Let me just read to you Isaiah 52 verse 11. Isaiah 52 verse 11 says, "Depart, depart, go out from there, touch nothing unclean, go out of the midst of her, purify yourselves, you who carry the vessels of the Lord." The Israelites, the background is that the Israelites are being restored from the Babylonian captivity. But again, that was a type pointing to Jesus saving us from sin and this world. Just like these Israelites were slaves to Babylonians, we were slaves to Satan. And they're being saved, just like you and I, we are being saved in Christ from sin and this world. Depart, depart, go out from there. Touch nothing unclean. Go out of the midst of her. Purify yourself, you who carry the vessels of the Lord. But here, what is amazing is that Paul says this. He is saying that all those Old Testament promises of God is now completely and perfectly fulfilled in Jesus Christ. He brings in all those Old Testament passages and he applies those passages to Corinthian church. What is Paul doing? He's saying that all those promises, how God's going to bring them out, how you're going to cleanse yourself and all that is now fulfilled in Jesus Christ. Thus, Paul applies those verses of the Old Testament to the Corinthian congregation. And here we know then, this, what we read here, is our present spiritual heavenly reality of our salvation. We are the temple of God. This is who we are. This is what has happened to us. This is our present reality. We are the temple of the living God. We will look at that for many weeks to come. The temple of the living God. It is where God is. It is where God lives. It is where God meets with man. It is where God is with man. Jesus is the true temple because he is God and man meeting. He is God and man. But we are also the temple of God because we are also man meeting with God because God lives in me. So when you see Jesus, you see God and man. But when you see me, you also see man and God who lives in me. That's why I'm a temple of God. I will dwell in them and walk among them. It points to the intimate fellowship. I will be their God and they shall be my people. The covenant of God is now completely and perfectly fulfilled, accomplished. Revelation 21 verse 3, "And I heard a loud voice from throne saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is among men, and he will dwell among them, and they shall be his people, and God himself will be among them." After telling us that the covenant of God is fulfilled now, Paul tells us that God adopted us as his sons. "I will be a father to you, and you shall be sons and daughters to me." As the covenant of God is fulfilled, we now become God's sons and daughters. That is why God says to be separate. Come out from their midst. Because you are God's sons and daughters. You are the temple of the living God. And our God, our holy God, cannot be mixed with this world. The reason that God gives that why we should be separate from the world is because of who we are. What kind of people that Jesus has made us already. Mixing with the world is you are denying who you are. Denying what Jesus has accomplished for you. And that is the most tragic. You're talking about tragic things in this world. But there's nothing more tragic than you being out of Christ. The temple of God, it is a holy place. It is a holy place because God is there. Because of God. We are now set apart from this sinful world and sin and made the holy temple of God. This is our reality of our salvation. This is our heavenly reality. You must believe this. That's why God says, therefore come out from their midst and be separate, says the Lord, and do not touch what is unclean. And chapter 7, verse 1, therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all defilement of flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Come out and be separate. Why? Because God has already brought you out, and God has already set you apart from this world. That is why. Because you are already separate if you are a Christian. Understand this. This is very, very important. God says, come out and be separate. Why? Because God has already brought you out and God has already set you apart from this world. That is who you are. So, do as who you are. That is what God is saying. God is not saying, try to be separate. Do your best to be separate. No. I have already set you apart from this world. I already brought you out of this world. You are already separate. Well then, live like it. Live according to the reality that you say you believe. See, whenever I hear the commandments in the Bible, you know, God says, be separate. I'm so happy. Because the imperatives shows me what God has already done for me. Those commands shows me what God has already done for me. Because if God did not do anything and he commands me, then all he's saying is go to hell. That's all he's saying. Because we cannot obey his command unless he accomplished it for me. Understand? That's why God says to, you know, be separate. And I'm so happy because I know I'm already separate. That's why God is commanding me to be separate. He already separated me from the world. So these commands should not give you burden. It should give you joy. It shows you what God has already done for you. Unless you don't believe. So I don't know why some Christians, they hear this command and then all of a sudden they're all burdened. Oh, I gotta do this, I gotta do that. No. If that is how you feel, then you do not understand the gospel. He made you a person who is already separate. That is why God says, be separate. So you believe. You believe what God has done for you. In the fear of God, Paul says, perfecting holiness, cleansing ourselves from all defilement of flesh and spirit. God calls us to live the very life of Christ, our Lord Jesus Christ. God calls us to imitate Christ. God calls us to participate in the holy life of our Lord Jesus Christ. God calls us to witness our reality of heaven that our Lord has already accomplished. Very first thing, and the middle thing, and the last thing you must do is that you believe. That you believe that you are already separate. Otherwise, you cannot obey God's command to be separate. But once you believe that you are already separate, that belief, that faith will carry you to live a life that reflects what you believe. This is God's way. This is God's method. He's not saying to you, go do your best, try hardest. No, believe that God has already brought you out of this world. Once you believe, that belief will enable you to see your heavenly reality. You will finally realize who you are. You'll finally understand what has happened to you. You believe. Then you will live according to that faith. Otherwise, it will never happen. Otherwise, it will be just non-Christian who try to live clean life on his own strength. But that's not Christianity. Brothers and sisters, you must believe. Believe that even as we gather here to worship our God, that we are separate from the world. World is out there, and we have come out. And where have you come? You have come to heaven. You are separate from the world, even as we worship God right now. You must believe. Oh, brothers and sisters, I beg of you. Believe, then that faith will enable you. Because it's all by faith. See, even people who come to church, they don't believe. They hear and they kind of understand, but when they really ask, they don't believe. This is an amazing passage. Brings so much joy to us. Because we know now we have come out from this world. And God made us a temple, holy temple, where God lives. So that there will be no harmony, no agreement, No partnership.
No fellowship.
No commonness between us and the world. You belong to God. You belong in heaven. Now, one more verse and we'll stop here because we're going to continue this. Now, okay, I need to purify myself. I need to cleanse myself. Okay. But you know and I know, it's not easy. And because you know that it's not easy, you might be burdened by now, saying, wait a minute, okay, I need to cleanse myself, I need to purify myself, but how? Well, God gives you, and we already talked about this, go to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. I mean, chapter 3. Sorry, chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. Verse 2. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it is not appear as yet what we will be. Obviously, you don't see perfect you, not yet. We know that when He appears, when Jesus comes back, we will be like Him, because we will see Him just as He is. And God's promise is that you will be just like Jesus Christ. Now, verse 3, and everyone who has this hope fixed on Christ purifies himself just as He is pure. God's promise is that anyone who have this hope fixed on Christ will purify himself. So your job is not, okay, tomorrow morning I will start purifying myself. No. You have this hope fixed on Christ and you will purify yourself. That's God's promise. Because you cannot do this. It's by faith. You believe that you will be like Christ. You believe that spiritually you are already like Christ. You believe that that is what God has already done for you. You believe. And when you have this hope fixed on Jesus Christ, you will live that life that clearly reflects who you are. What Christ has already accomplished for you. Do you get the method of God? Do you understand the way of God? How do you do this? You know, so many people tell you, go and do this, do that. How are you going to do it? We try that. You know, I lived 50 years. I tried. I did this. I tried to do that. It never worked. Because we are not able. Don't be deceived. You are not able. When it comes to spiritual life, you are not able. Only God is able. That's why it's by faith. You must believe. Believe. God made you just like Christ. And that reality will be visible when Jesus comes back. You know, when Jesus comes back, you will know whether I'm telling you truth or not. See, right now, me like Christ? Give me a break. I don't believe you. What do you mean God made me like Jesus Christ? Well, just wait until Jesus comes back and I'll show you that what I'm saying to you is true. You will be like Christ. And you go, oh, it's true. I am like Christ. That's that day when Jesus comes back. It is the work of God. And it is by the Holy Spirit through faith, through the Word. You believe the Word. Brothers and sisters, we must have our hope fixed on heaven, fixed on our Lord Jesus Christ. And by God's grace, everything that the Bible tells you, this reality will be visible when Jesus returns. Be separate, brothers and sisters. You don't belong to this world. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. Thank you for what you have done, what you have accomplished for us. Thank you for bringing us out of this world, out of sin, out of Satan, and making us citizens of your kingdom, making us the holy temple of our God. We thank you that you are in us, living in us. Oh, Father, as you are holy, we are holy in you. And let us reflect that reality that you have set us apart from this world as we live the life, the very life of our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, Father, let us truly be separate, not bound with unbelievers. For that is our reality that has already been accomplished by our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you and we give you all the glory. We love you, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.